know the verse, whether you have this verse on the song sheet. And you don't seem to have any songs here. Void. Yeah, but this one you have also? That's Avatar Stotra. We only sing one verse, it's quite long. Auspicious day, Vijaya Dwadashi, Vamana Dwadashi, also the appearance day of Shri Jiva Goswami. As you may have heard earlier, the breakfast officially is a little late today, so we may go a little bit longer with class than usual. We'll see. Take it as it comes. Hare Krishna. We'll begin by singing. Oh, we have. Good. It's there. Verse number 5 of the Das Avatar Stotram. If you wish to follow.
Chalayasi Vikramane Palimadhutta Vamana Padanaka Nira Janita Jana Pavana Keshavadvita Vamana Rupa Jaya Jagadisha Hare Jaya Jagadisha Hare Jaya Jagadisha Hare Chalayasi Vikramane Balimadbhutta Vamana Padanaka Nirajanita Janapaha Keshavadita Vamana Rupa Jaya Jagadisha Hare Chalayasi Vikramane Balim Adbhuta Vamana Padanaka Nirajanita Janapala Kistavrita Vamana Rupa Jaya Jagadisha Hare Jaya Jagadisha Hare Jaya Jagadisha Hare Chalayasi Vikramane Palimadbhutta Vamana Padanaka Nirajani Janapana Keshavadita Vamana Rupa Jaya Jagadisha Hare Keshavadvita Vamana Rupa Jaya Jagadishare Jaya Jagadishare Jaya Jagadishare Jaya Vamana De, Vamana De, Vamana De, Jaya Vamana De. Jaya Vamana De, Vamana De, Vamana De. Vamana De Jaya Vamana De Vamana De Vamana De Jaya Vamana Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna. Krishna Hare Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jiva Goswami
Jiva Goswami Shila, Jiva Goswami Shila, Jiva Goswami. Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada. Goswami Prabhupada Jai Om Vishnupada Paramahamsa Parivajaka Charya Stata Satishishima Shri A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Anantagura Vaishnavinda Ki Namacharya Shri Hridas Thakur Ki Prince Gahosi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasudhi Gaur Bhakti Vinda Ki Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shyamakunda Radha Kunda Kiti Gaur Vedan Ki Shri Vrindavan Dham ki, Shri Mayapur Dham ki, Jagannath Puri Dham ki, Ganga Maya ki, Yamuna Maya ki, Tulasi Deva ki, Bhakti Deva ki, Samaveta Bhakti Vrinda ki, Lord Chaitanya's Hare Nama Sankirtan ki, Brihat Madanga ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Shri Shri Gonitai ki, Shri Shri Jagannath Baladev Shabadu ki, Shri Giriraj Maharaj ki, Shri Shri Varlandanishwara ki, Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Jiva Goswami Prabhupada ki, Srila Vamanadev Dwadashi ki jai, Srila Vamanadev Abhibhav Mahotsav ki, Srila Jiva Goswami Abhibhav Mahotsav ki, Gaura Premanandi. All glorious to the assembled devotees. All glorious to the assembled devotees. All glorious to the assembled devotees. All glorious to Sri Gurudev. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhukti Vedanta Swami Tinoi. Namaste Sarasate Devi Gauravani Vacharine Nevasesha Sanyavali Pastachade Chaitanya Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityanand Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vritta Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Vanchakalpaturubhyascha Kripasindubhyascha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. O Keshava, O Lord of the Universe, O Lord Hari, who have assumed the form of a wonderful dwarf Brahmin, all glories to you. With your massive steps you deceive King Bali, and with the Ganges water emanating from the nails of your lotus feet, you deliver all living beings in this world. Hare Krishna. So, as we've been asked to speak a little bit about Lord Vamanadev this morning, we'll try to speak a few words. Pleasantly surprised to see dear Shanta Prabhu here this morning. We'd also like to welcome Gaur Hari Prabhu from Oslo, Denmark, Oslo, joining us for 10 days, thereabouts, almost, more or less. He's going to be coming on the World Holy Name Week Harinam Party. We'll be travelling tomorrow to Manchester District. We hope we don't get, well, we hope that we flood the place with the Holy Name. I hear there's lots of floods in the north of England right now. We have to, the real flood is not this watery one, but the flood of the Sankirtan. We have to flood the whole country with the Holy Name. So the next, starting on Friday, a couple of days' time is the World Holy Name Week. So as we've already mentioned a few times, we would humbly request all the devotees of ISKCON, Madhulandanishwar, to please And do whatever you can to flood the world with the holy name. To bring some people, I always said, if we flood the world with the Sangha movement, the world will become very happy and united. So this is the way to bring fulfillment to really literally everyone's desire. By the mercy of the Goswamis, has also said that all of our desires can be fulfilled. It's that verse sung by Narottam Das Thakur. Slipped my mind. How by serving the lotus feet of the six Goswamis, all the impediments on one's spiritual path will be removed. Hai Gosai Chari Kori Charanavandan Yahoiti Vignanasha Vishtupuran. And all one's desires, all one's impediments will be removed, and all one's desires will be fulfilled. By the mercy of the Goswamis, so we can pray today also to Srila Jiva Goswami to shower his mercy upon us. He's the greatest, sometimes known as the Prabhupada, the greatest philosopher ever of all time. Even modern day philosophers or whatever. One time, and you may remember that, dear Shanta Prabhu, back in 1972, here in the university, I guess it was Asian Oriental Studies or something, they had a display of the writings of Rupa and Jiva Goswami. And the big kind of banner introducing the exhibition was the writings of Rupa and Jiva Goswamis, two of the greatest philosophers the world has ever known. So they recognized that also, even though they were from India. And without a doubt, the philosophy, or that said, the writings and presentation of Srila Jiva Goswami is beyond compare. Vast. And not just quantity, but the quality philosophy, which is so deep and so all extensive, covering, especially the Satsandarbhas, many books written by Jiva Goswami, which are, let's say, there's no comparison. So today is his appearance day, the youngest of the six Goswamis, the nephew of Rupa and Sanatan. We're not going to speak on the glories of Jiva Goswami today. There is a book out called The Six Goswamis. You can, perhaps you have that here. You can read that if you have the time today. I don't think there's time allotted for Jiva Goswami's katha today. But at least we can pray to him, remember him. And basically our philosophical Siddhanta is from Rupa and Jiva, especially from Jiva Goswami, who established the position of Gaudiya Vaishnavism beyond a doubt, as being, philosophically speaking, complete, the fullest of all philosophies. So we're going to be now discussing a little bit about Lord Vamanadeva on these auspicious days of the Lord's appearance. They are very, all these holy days are described by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Tomorrow is the appearance day of Srila Sachinanda Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who is also beyond compare in his writings. When you look at it, that's for tomorrow, so we'll speak on that tomorrow. But in one of his songs, Srila Bhakata, Madhavati Ti Bhakti Janani, that these special days, Madhavatiti, these days of the appearance of the Lord, they are bhakti janani. They are like mothers of devotion. They nourish our devotional creepers, which especially at our stage are quite delicate and sensitive, like a baby, very sensitive, easily upset. Sometimes as you notice with babies, they very easily get upset, isn't it? Just a little touch and they start crying. So we're a little bit like that to some extent. You know, babies in devotional life. So the baby needs its mother, only the mother can satisfy the baby at that stage, practically speaking. So these days, he said, they are like mothers of devotion. So they nourish us. And many other factors too regarding these days, and of course there's many auspicious results on these particular days by hearing about. You always find there are many benedictions given for hearing. Well, let's just see. It's maybe a little from a little angled way, but there are benedictions to be received also. Of course there are, besides the general benedictions of purification of the heart. Let's just read a few of these. This is really at the end of the pastime, in the eighth canto. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. It's interesting, the eighth canto, I didn't realize it before, but if we really take it back to the beginning of this pastime of Vamandeva, referring to Bali Maharaj, it occupies almost the whole eighth canto. Because you really go back where Bali Maharaj, as the leader of the demons, was battling with the demigods. And they had quite a few battles. It starts in this volume, in chapter 5, and it goes right through to this chapter, chapter 30, which is really more than three quarters. Excuse me, not chapter 30, chapter 23. So it's about three quarters of the whole eighth canto is related to this pastime. It's quite a lot. The seventh canto mostly is related to Prahlad Maharaj. The eighth canto is mostly related to Bali Maharaj, who happens to be the grandson of Prahlad Maharaj. So it's the it's actually going through the genealogical table, going through there, we can say, in that sense. So this particular benedictions, oops, I just lost the page now. Oops. Oh, Parikshit Maharaj, this is Sukadeva Goswami speaking. Pleasure of your dynasty. I have now described to you everything about the wonderful activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vamanadeva. Those who hear about this are certainly freed from all the results of sinful activity. That's our ultimate goal, but it's certainly a necessary stage, Deshagni, on our path of spiritual progress. Sinful reactions don't just come just from suffering or experiencing the reactions to our activity, but here it says sinful activity. The results of sinful activity is that we have material desires, material tendencies, and so on and so forth, not just the direct reaction in terms of suffering, but the mere fact that we maintain our materialism, that's also a result of sinful activity. One who is subject to death cannot measure the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Who can think of another name of Vamanadeva? Trivikram, thank you. That's the name mentioned here, actually. Trivikram, which of course means, what does that mean? What is Vamana? Three steps. Trivikram. What is Vamana? Pardon? Dwarf. A dwarf. That's nice. You said it so clearly in English, something dwarf, so you can hardly hear what it means. Dwarf. A dwarf. A dwarf. He's dwarf, a dwarf. Were you born on Vamana Day's appearance day, Vamana? Pardon? More or less. His father named him Vamana. He's probably born on that day. He's not a dwarf anymore. Trivikram is our Lord Vishnu. And we'll start again. One who is subject to death cannot measure the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Trivikram, Lord Vishnu, any more than he can count the number of atoms on the entire planet Earth. No one, whether born already or destined to take birth, is able to do this. This has been sung by the great sage Vasishtha. Yes, same with even the devotees, their glories are immeasurable. Friday is Haridas Thakur's Tirubhava, the disappearance day. Lord Chaitanya glorified. Unfortunately, we won't be here. It's our favorite subject matter. But Lord Chaitanya glorified him. He had hundreds and thousands of tongues. And glorifying the glories of Haridas Thakur is immeasurable, unfathomable. No one can fathom the glories of Haridas, Namacharya Haridas. So what to speak of the Supreme Lord? If one hears about the uncommon activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his various incarnations, he's certainly elevated to the higher planetary system or even brought back home, back to Godhead. Paramgatim. Yati, yati, paramgatim. Goes back to Godhead. Whenever the activities of Vamanadeva are described in the course of a ritualistic ceremony, whether the ceremony is performed, he performed to please the demigods, to please one's forefathers in Pitriloka, or to celebrate a social event like a marriage, that ceremony should be understood to be extremely auspicious. That's the last verse of the section. Just a little indication for those who are doing yajnas. This is just something from the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's quite commonplace that we describe, at least in brief, this pastime of Lord Vamanadeva. Makes the whole yajna also very auspicious. Of course, what makes it all the most auspicious is the verse. Is there a verse on the board or not? No. No? Okay. Jolly good. I'm glad. Can go freely along in our own sweet or sour way, whichever you may take it as be. And it's funny, we're kind of starting from the back a little bit here at the end of this pastime, just so that we maybe have a little bit more of a link to what is going on. What makes everything most auspicious, interesting enough, at the end of this particular pastime of the appearance of Vamanadeva, of course, Bali Maharaj, who was basically cursed to go down to Satala Loka, lower planetary systems, which is not an ordinary planet, it's a Vaikuntha planet. And the Lord has made a special arrangement for him because he was cursed by Shukracharya to go down like that, to lose all of his opulences. The Lord also, because he didn't fulfill his promise initially, also punished him in this way. So he went to Sitala, but there the Lord resided there with him constantly in that place, along with his family members and associates. A planet even more opulent than the heavenly planets, in one sense. And later on, of course, he also became Indra. Officially, he became Indra. It said that Vamadeva cursed him, or sent him down, because if he hadn't done that, then especially Indra and the demigods, they would have been very disturbed after all of this. So he thought he'd get him off the scene for the time being. So he put him down there. And after he'd gone down, the Lord then asked Shukracharya, who was the spiritual master, and of course we'll hear that in a minute, very involved in the whole pastimes. Lord asked Shukracharya, so what was the fault in the performance of his sacrifice whereby he had to be demoted, so to speak? If you don't perform the sacrifice, you may get demoted. In the Kali Yuga, the sacrifice, of course, is Yaga Sankirtanam Praya. So Sukracharya, very interesting, replied. And I'd like to read this verse first. It's because I don't want to miss it, because it's so significant. Verse. Sukracharya, first of all, he described that if we can open the page now. Here we go. My Lord, you are the enjoyer and lawgiver in all performances of sacrifice. Now, although he was the spiritual master of the demons, he wasn't a demon as such. He had a role to play. And he knew the truth quite well. And you are the Yajna Purush, the person to whom all sacrifices are offered. If one has fully satisfied you, where is the chance of discrepancies or faults in his performances of sacrifice? So by satisfying the Lord as Bali Man, there is no fault Bali had done. Then he said, there may be discrepancies in the pronouncing of the mantras and observing the regulated principles, mantra tas tanta tas chidram, dishakalaha vastutaha. And moreover, there may be discrepancies in regard to time, place, person, and paraphernalia. But when your Lordship's holy name is chanted, everything becomes faultless. Nishchidram anusankirtanam tava. When your Lord's holy name is chanted, everything becomes faultless. So especially when we're performing deity worship or various yajnas, which we do sometimes for various reasons, there's inevitably going to be some fault. But Sukracharya is given here the conclusion to this, that anusankirtanam tava, if your holy name is chanted, everything becomes nischidram or faultless. Not that we should chant the holy name with that intention in mind, as such, exactly, but in knowing that there will be faults anyway, but we should be chanting the holy name during all these various activities, daily worship. Anything we do is subject to a fault. Kaler dosha nade rajan astyekam hangunad. Kali Yuga is ocean of faults, kala dosha. Full of dosha. Full of faults. So the chanting of the holy name is the only, only to counteract the faults or the reactions of this sinful age that's there. But it is the only sure proof or safe path to take. Even in the path of devotional service, Jiva Goswami describes that other limbs of devotional service are always subject to question. Many different questions may be there. But kirtan, he said, the chanting congregational, particularly sankirtan, is beyond question, is infallible process. So this is the most, whatever other services we're doing, that's fine, but it should be accompanied, Jiva Goswami says, by the performance of sankirtan. Whatever it is, serving brishadam, cooking brishadam, worshipping the deity, looking after babies, whatever we do, whatever we deem as devotional service, should be accompanied by the holy name, Krishna. This will, bear the fruit, then the fruit, more likely will receive the fruit of that service. Also explains that this helps to keep us off the platform of ahankara, this false ego of identifying oneself as the doer. So now we're going to discuss a little bit about Lord Vamanadeva's appearance. And the history, of course, goes back a long way. The fights between the demigods and the demons. This is always there in the material world, and to different degrees it's there now, although we don't really say it in terms of there are demigods and demons. Prabhupada said everyone on the planet right now is a demon, practically. At least all those who are fighting. You don't get any fights on this planet between demigods and demons, although some people claim to be so. They're really not. They're engaged in demoniac activities with demoniac purposes in general. There may be some degree of religiousness or godliness there. So to some degree it's there, but it's all very small in Kali Yuga compared to the clear-cut battles that took place before between the demons. They're like avowed enemies, generation after generation. The demons are also endowed with more good qualities than most of the so-called religious people of nowadays. They will perform many sacrifices, even worshipping Lord Vishnu sometimes, and worshipping Demi, the Brahmanas, offering sacrifices to the Brahmanas, offering charity, and so on and so forth, performing austerities, and they did a lot of demoniac things as well, but they did a lot of things on that side also. They knew that by doing those things they would get power. So sometimes in the course of history the demigods were defeated by the demons. Sometimes they would get the better of the demon. Usually the demigods were victorious, but sometimes, for instance, there was a time when Indra offended Devasamuni. And of course they don't go around offending Devasamuni. Devasamuni got pretty angry and literally cursed him to lose everything. So then of course the demons got right on top of them and the demigods were running for their lives. And then, of course, they were advised. They went to Brahma, and Brahma advised them to worship Lord Vishnu, and then Lord Vishnu advised them then to make a truce. Make a truce with the demons at the moment. That time factor was in favor of the demons. So make a truce with them, and I'll arrange, and then the whole pastime of the churning of the milk ocean took place. That's another story altogether. We don't have time for that, I don't think. But how the Lord advised them to perform this great activity, and out of that churning of that milk ocean, which the Mount Mandara was used as the churning rod, and Vasuki was the rope, and Lord Vishnu himself took the place of the support underneath the mountain. At first he wasn't there, and the mountain fell into the ocean. On the way towards the ocean also, the mountain crashed. The demons and the demigods, they all went to get Mandara Mountain. They agreed to the truce. Bali agreed. He was in charge of the demons even then. And they agreed to this, and they were... But the mountain was so heavy, it dropped and crushed them all. To death, the Lord came along, revived them all, and himself took up the mountain, carried it to the ocean, placed it there. They started churning, but there was no support, so down it went again. And then the Lord took the form of a tortoise, holding the mountain up, and enjoying the itching sensation as the mountain was being churned by the demons and demigods. The demons thought, let us take the mouth of the... they wanted the mouth. They thought the mouth end was more auspicious. And they didn't want the tail end. They thought the tail was very inauspicious. So they took the head. Of course, out of the head came blazing fire and heat and smoke and everything. They got blackened and scorched. you can't, you know, you get what you're meant to get. You know, you can't play around with the Lord and his energies. Anyway, after a long time, they were churning and churning, get super duper tired. The Lord then entered into them all, the modes of material, and even Vasuki was wiped out to the max and was about to die practically. So the Lord entered all of them as the three modes of nature, goodness. The mode of goodness into the demigods, passion into the demons, and ignorance into Vasuki, to sustain them all. This way the Lord was really present. Then he entered on top of the mountain also to keep it balanced. So he was below, above, and all around. The whole thing was really the Lord's doing. And they're churning, 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 and eventually the Lord himself had to take the part of churning because they still weren't getting it together. And the churning began. He said, told them all, don't be too attached. Don't be too attached to this. Whatever comes out of this, don't get too attached. So all sorts of things started coming out. Poisons came out. Halahala poison came out. And of course the story is there, how Shiva, they called upon Lord, they didn't know what to do. All these poisons, deadly poisons, were coming out of the ocean. And so they called upon Lord Shiva to please save the situation. The Lord advised him, requested him to do that. The Lord works through his various agents when things are meant to be done. He doesn't say, and empowers his various agents to do things he could do himself, but he empowers them. So Lord Shiva then drank up all this poison except for a little few drops, which ended up being quickly devoured by creatures like snakes and other poisonous things, jellyfishes and different things. Quickly got that poison, little drops there, so they become very poisonous. But basically he swallowed the whole ocean like that, poison. And then other things came out. Airavata came out, Jayashriva came out, Lakshmi Devi came out, Gandharvas came out, Apsaras came out, all kinds of creatures and things came out of the ocean, different types, because the Lord had told them all to throw in all kinds of vegetables, drugs, herbs, roots, fruits, all sorts of things they put in the ocean, churning the ocean at the same time to procure this nectar. And nothing, still nothing was coming. All sorts of things were coming out. Eventually, after the Lord took up the churning, who came out? Somebody popped out of the ocean with a pot. Who was, huh? Dhanvantari popped out the ocean with his pot of nectar. And the whole Ayurvedic science and all these other sciences came from this. And the nectar came out. So what to do? Both demigods and demons, of course, were eager to get that nectar. The demigods snatched it. They got the pot. The demons rather snatched the pot. And they were quarreling and arguing, fighting over who should have the nectar. So then, of course, the Lord bewildered them all. He appeared as Mohini Murti. Came along, they made an arrangement. They were captivated by her. Demons were always captivated by sex. And so she enticed them to give her the pot, and she would decide who would get it or not. So they gave the pot to Mohini Murti, and Mohini Murti then, everyone was watching. She sat them all down in two lines, demigods in one place, demons in the other. Up and down she went, who to give the nectar to. So then she started giving it all to the demigods. The demons were so disturbed, but they were so infatuated with this Mohini Murti, they trusted her. They didn't know what to do. She was a woman, took a woman's form. So one of the demons, of course, in the famous pastime of Rahu, he immediately took on the form of a demigod, and somehow he disguised himself and sneaked into there. And then he also got a cup of this nectar. And of course, just as he drank the first drop, Mohini Murti, seeing that this is a demon, sliced off his head. But he already had a drop of nectar in there, so the head didn't die. So the Rahu planet still torments the Chandra, especially the moon. Enemy, inimical to the moon and the sun. And so he was not killed like that, but he got a little bit of that nectar, so he remains like that. Anyway, these things went on. And eventually the demigods, and of course the demigods then started, fight started again. The demigods were well on top, and they were completely smashing the demons, and the demons were like totally defeated, practically speaking. There are many other ups and downs in the battle, but eventually they were completely defeated. But Narada Muni came to their rescue. Narada Muni sometimes sides with the demons, so he kind of helped them, took them away, and they were all smashed and this and that. And he took them to Shukracharya. And there, and by the touch of Shukracharya, they were revived. And they all came back to life again. So especially Bali, he worshipped Shukracharya, and they performed tremendous sacrifices, worshipping all the Brahmins, and so on and so forth. And they became extremely powerful. And after Bali Maharaj had performed some, all these various sacrifices, out of the fire came this particular chariot, practically an invincible chariot with a flag, special flag and a bow and quivers and different things. And then Prahlad Maharaj turned up, his grandfather, and gave him an eternal garland, never fading garland, and various other things, armors and this and that. And the demigods became very the demons became very confident again, and they marched off to war to again attack the demigods, who were thinking themselves victorious. So when they saw Bali Maharaj approaching with such strength and such power, the demigods realized actually they were in trouble. This was no ordinary, Bali wasn't in any ordinary mood, and the demons looked more powerful than they'd ever seen them before. They were, because they'd worshipped the Brahmins. They had the blessings of the Brahma Tejas. So immediately Indra went to Brihaspati, his spiritual master, and asked what to do. And Brihaspati said, right now, you cannot defeat them. They're being protected by the Brahmins, who are dear to Lord Vishnu. No matter what you do, you will not defeat them. Time is in their favor. You better disappear. So all the demigods, they all, along with Indra, they all made themselves invisible, disappeared, left the heavenly planets, went in hiding, incognito somewhere. So in this way the demons just marched into the heavenly planets without even a fight. And they took over the heavenly planets. And Indra was the king of heaven. No, excuse me, Bali became like the king of heaven. And not even a fight. So in this way the demigods were waiting for the time factor to change. However, the mother of the demigods, Aditi, she was very disturbed. Her husband Kashyapa was away performing austerities. He came back and he saw his wife in such a distraught condition. He said, "What's wrong? Something bad happened in the ashram or what?" And she then told him her problem. You know, her sons, Indra particularly, and other demigods, they've been driven out of their homes and she couldn't see them there anymore. Terrible things had happened. The demons were in charge. Kashyapa preached to her and said, "Don't be so attached. You know, ultimately Krishna's in control. We get what we get. Don't be too attached. Everything's going on by his will. This, that, the other." She didn't like it very much when he started preaching like this. He became even more depressed. He was very attached. So he said, "All right, then if you really, really insist and you really want something, you do what I say." So then he instructed her and performed the Payo Vrata, this particular kind of vrata, this vow. Well, he's 12 days long, but quite intense, focused on worshipping a Lord Vishnu. You know, you don't eat anything except for milk, lie on the floor and bathe 3 times a day, and you know, you give a lot of worship and give a lot of charity to devotees and brahmanas and so on, especially on the last 13th day, and give huge amounts of the best of everything, the brahmins, trying to evoke the mercy of Lord Vishnu, in other words. It's only by the mercy of Lord Vishnu, he said, that we can have any chance, you have any chance of achieving your success here. Because the demigods are basically protected by him. Excuse me, the demons are protected by him, because the brahmins are more dear to the Lord than his own self. So you have to worship Lord Vishnu, and maybe he can work something out. Nothing we can do. Vyaspati said, "Nothing I can do here." So they, Aditi and Kashyapa, Kashyapa has already performed many austerities, and Aditi performed these great austerities, this Payavrata, and then the Lord appeared to her and assured her not to worry, that he would appear, he would come, and she worshipped the Lord with prayers and so on. And then sure enough, in due course of time, after that, Kashyapa Muni suddenly felt the Lord's appear in his heart. Lord appeared in his heart. And then he transferred the Lord from his heart into the womb of Aditi. In the womb, Lord Brahma came, prayers, just like when Krishna was born. Demigods came and prayed to the Lord in the womb. And then after some time, as the Lord appeared, and we'll read that little section. We can just find it here somewhere. On the actual appearance of Lord Vamanadeva. This is, "After Lord Brahma had thus spoken, glorifying the Supreme Lord's activities and prowess." This is the beginning of the 18th chapter, if you have one of your little things that have the whole Bhagavatam in. "Glorifying the Supreme Lord's activities and prowess, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is never subject to death like an ordinary living being, appeared from the womb of Aditi. His four hands were decorated with a conch shell, club, lotus and disc. He was dressed in yellow garments, and his eyes appeared like the petals of a blooming lotus." He just appeared there in this forearm form, just like he did in the prison house of Kunks. "The body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, blackish in complexion, was free from all inebrieties. His lotus face, decorated with earrings resembling sharks, appeared very beautiful. And on his bosom was the mark of Sri Vatsa. He wore bangles on his wrists, armlets on his arms, a helmet on his head, a belt on his waist, a sacred thread across his chest, and ankle bells decorating his lotus feet." I don't think many babies appear like this. Can you imagine? Of course, he wasn't a baby in that sense. He was already fully grown, fully full size, 4 arms. It wasn't like a teeny little baby there, you know. with all these things. He was full size. If this sort of thing had happened, that would really make history, I suppose. They don't believe, the modern historians, people, they don't believe these things. An uncommonly beautiful garland of flowers decorated his bosom. Because the flowers were extremely fragrant, a large group of bees, making their natural humming sounds, invaded them for honey. When the Lord appeared, wearing the Kastuba gem on his neck, his effulgence vanquished the darkness in the home of the Prajapati Kashyapa. At that time there was happiness in all directions, in the reservoirs of water like the rivers and oceans, and in the core of everyone's heart. Happiness everywhere. It's like, you know, it's a, like when the Sankirtan of Lord Chaitanya appears, the holy name is chanted. This is the same thing, the Lord's appearing. Makes everything in all directions happy, happy. Even the rivers and the oceans. And the core of everyone's heart. The various seasons displayed their respective qualities, and all living entities in the upper planetary systems, outer space and on the surface of the earth were jubilant. The demigods, the cows, the Brahmins and the hills and the mountains were all filled with joy. On the day of Shravana Dwadashi, that's today, the 12th day of the bright fortnight in the month of Bhadra, when the moon came into the lunar mansion, Shravana, at the auspicious moment of Abhijit, the Lord appeared in this universe. Considering the Lord's appearance very auspicious, all the stars and planets, from the sun to Saturn, were magnificently charitable. O King, when the Lord appeared on Dwadashi, the 12th day of the moon, the sun was at its meridian, so that Lord appeared at midday. As every learned scholar knows, this Dwadashi is called Vijaya, victorious. Conch shells, kettle drums, drums, panavas and anakas vibrated in concert. The sound of these and various other instruments was tumultuous. Being very pleased, the celestial dancing girls, the apsaras, danced in jubilation. The best of the gandharvas sang songs, and the great sages, the demigods, manus, pitas and fire gods offered prayers to satisfy the Lord. The siddhas, vidyadharas, kimpurushas, kinaras, chanaras, charanas, yakshas, rakshasas, suparnas, the best of the serpents and the followers of the demigods all showered flowers on Aditya's residence, covering the entire house, while glorifying and praising the Lord and dancing. When Aditi saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who appeared from her own womb, having accepted a transcendental body by his own spiritual potency, she was struck with wonder and was very happy. Upon seeing the child, Prajapati Kashyapa exclaimed, "Jai, Jai," in great happiness and wonder. The Lord appeared in his original form with ornaments and weapons in his hands. Although this ever-existing form is not visible in the material world, he nonetheless appeared in his form. Then in the presence of his father and mother, he assumed the form of Vamana, a Brahmin dwarf, a brahmachari, just like a theatrical actor. So first of all, you could say he assured his parents, Kashyapa and Aditi, that not to fear, that their desires, or at least her desires, will be fulfilled. The Lord has indeed appeared before them, and there's no more need to worry. The whole universe, well, not the demons, of course, but the rest of the universe was very glad and joyful to see or hear about the appearance of the Lord from the womb of the deity. And they knew very soon that their problems would be solved. At least they were confident. So then when the great sages saw this Brahmin, dwarf boy, they were very pleased. And then they placed before them, thus they placed before them Kashyapa Muni, the Prajapati, and performed all the ritualistic ceremonies, such as the birth ceremony. At the sacred thread ceremony of Vamanadev, the sun god performed, personally uttered the Gayatri mantra. He received the Gayatri from the sun god. Brihaspati offered the sacred thread and Kashyapa Muni offered a straw belt. Mother Earth gave him a deer skin, and the demigod of the moon, who is the king of the forest, gave him a Brahmadanda, the rod of a brahmachari. His mother Aditi gave him cloth for underwear, and the deity presiding over the heavenly kingdom offered him an umbrella. O King, Lord Brahma offered a water pot to the inexhaustible Supreme Personality of Godhead. The seven sages offered his kusha grass, and Mother Saraswati gave him a string of rudraksha beads. When Vamanadeva had thus been given the sacred thread, Kuvera, king of the yakshas, gave him a pot for begging alms. Kuvera, treasurer of the demigods. Mother Bhagavati The wife of Lord Shiva, a most chaste mother of the entire universe, gave him his first alms. Having thus been welcomed by everyone, Lord Vamadeva, the best of the brahmacharis, exhibited his brahmana effulgence. Thus he surpassed in beauty that entire assembly, which was filled with great saintly brahmins. After Lord Sri Vamadeva set a sacrificial fire, he offered worship and performed a fire sacrifice on the sacrificial field. When the Lord heard that Bali Maharaj was performing Ashwamedha sacrifices, he was performing 100 Ashwamedha sacrifices. If you can do 100 Ashwamedha sacrifices, you can get the job of Indra. That's the, you know, you have a test usually when you go for a job interview. So you have to show your credentials. What do they call it? What's the word they use nowadays? CD? CV? CV? You have to show your CV. So if you want to become Indra, you've got to show your CV that you've done 100 Ashwamedha yogas. Otherwise you won't get the job. You know, Indra gets really jealous sometimes when Prithu Maharaj, when he was 99, he stopped 900. He was getting really envious. He thought, no, he's going to take over my post. I'd pull him down. So when the Lord heard that this Bali was performing the Ashwamedha sacrifice under the patronage of Brahmins belonging to the Bhrigu dynasty, the Supreme Lord is full in every respect, proceeded there to show his mercy to Bali Maharaj. By his weight he pushed down the earth with every step. Just a little Brahmin boy, but of course he's not the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He can do anything he likes. He's not limited by his size anymore than Prahlad Maharaj or whatever. They may look small, but they're not. They're very empowered in the case of Prahlad, in the case of Vamanes Krishna, or the Supreme Lord himself. Can do anything. So now we're going to the scene of the famous pastime when Lord Vamadeva's appeared now. This is appearance day. And he goes to the place where Bali Maharaj is performing this Ashwamedha Yajna. And there, that place is there. You can go there now if you go to India. If you travel on the train from Baroda to Bombay, you'll cross over the Narmada River. And there's one town there. Those from Gujarat will pronounce it probably. It looks like Barguch. I don't know how you pronounce it in Gujarati. But it looks like Barguch. Probably Baruch. So I don't know how they pronounce it. Huh? Baruch. Yeah. So that is the place where this sacrifice took place, where Bali Maharaj was performing this tremendous yajna with the descendants of the Bhrigu dynasty, headed by, of course, Shukracharya. So there they're performing this great yajna as on the banks of the Narmada. And at that time, this little boy, Brahmin, dwarf Brahmin boy, appeared. We read on a little bit and see how we do. I don't know how much time I summarize it, but we better we read it. While engaged in performing the sacrifice in the field known as Bhrigu Kutch, you can see how it became Baruch. It's almost the same. On the northern bank of the Narmada River, the Brahminical priests, the descendants of Bhrigu, saw Vamadeva to be like their sun rising nearby. O king, because of Vamadeva's bright effulgence, the priests, along with Bali Maharaj and all the members of the assembly, were robbed of their splendor. Thus they began to ask one another whether the sun god himself, or Sanat Kumar, or the fire god, had personally come to see the sacrificial ceremony. While the priests of the Bhrigu dynasty and their disciples talked and argued in various ways, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vamadeva, holding in his hands the rod, the umbrella, and a water pot full of water, entered the arena of the Ashwamedha sacrifice. Appearing as a Brahmin boy wearing a belt of straw, a sacred thread, an upper garment of deerskin, and matted locks of hair, Lord Vamadeva entered the arena of sacrifice. His brilliant effulgence diminished the brilliance of all the priests and their disciples, who thus stood from their seats and welcomed the Lord properly by offering obeisances. They're getting great benefits here. See, he played the trick on them because they were getting their power from Brahmins. He came as a Brahmin boy. So he was tricking them all. Bali Maharaj, jubilant at seeing Lord Vamadeva, whose beautiful limbs contributed equally to the beauty of his entire body, offered him a seat with great satisfaction, thus offering a proper reception to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is always beautiful to the liberated soul, Bhari Maharaj worshipped him by washing his lotus feet. He was getting all kinds of special mercy here. So many good fortune coming to Bhari Maharaj. Lord Shiva, the best of the demigods, who carries on his forehead the emblem of the moon, receives on his head with great devotion the Ganges water emanating from the toe of Vishnu. Being aware of religious principles, Bhari Maharaj knew this. Consequently, following in the footsteps of Lord Shiva, he also placed on his head the water that had washed the Lord's lotus feet. It states in the third canto how that water which has washed the Lord's lotus feet is all auspicious. Lord Shiva becomes all the more auspicious when he takes that water upon his head, because that water destroys all the sinful reactions. Everything becomes purified by that water. Just as the thunderbolt of Lord Indra smashes mountains to pieces, and that water which has washed the lotus feet of the Lord, it removes all of the sinful reactions within the heart, which are likened to a mountain. It's actually the Lord's lotus feet. Meditation upon the Lord's lotus feet destroys the mountain of sin within the heart. So Bhari Maharaj, he was lucky. Lucky, not fortunate. He was born in the family of Prahlad Maharaj. He was actually very fortunate. Bhari Maharaj then said to Lord Vamanadeva, "O Brahmin, I offer you my hearty welcome and my respectful obeisances. Please let us know what we may do for you. We think of you as the personified austerity of the great Brahmin sages." He was captivated by him, and he was willing to do anything. He received him in the proper way, even though he was supposedly the king of the demons. "O my Lord, because you have kindly arrived at our home, all my forefathers are satisfied. Our family and the entire dynasty have been unsanctified, and the sacrifice we are performing is now complete because of your presence. O son of a Brahmin, today the fire of sacrifice is ablaze according to the injunction of the Shastra, and I have been freed from all the sinful reactions of my life by the water that has washed your lotus feet. O my Lord, by the touch of your small lotus feet, the entire surface of the world has been sanctified. O son of a Brahmin, it appears you have come here to ask me for something. Therefore, whatever you want, you may take from me, O best of those who are worshipable. You may take from me a cow, gold, a furnished house, palatable food and drink, the daughter of a Brahmin for your wife, prosperous villages, horses, elephants, chariots, or whatever you desire. Take from me whatever you like." So then, what happened? So then when Lord Vamadeva heard Bhari Maharaj speak in this way, he was pleased. Supreme Lord replied to him, "Your statements are all correct. They're in keeping with the behavior of your family. Very well spoken." And he said, "I know that no one, even until now, no one taking birth in your family has ever been poor-minded or miserly. No one has refused to give charity to Brahmins, nor after promising to give charity has anyone failed to fulfill his promise. O King Bali, and your dynasty has... Never has anyone in your dynasty has anyone been born who, upon being requested, refused charity to Brahmins in holy places or a fight to a Kshatriya on a battlefield. And your dynasty is even more glorious due to the presence of Prahlad Maharaj, who is like the beautiful moon in the sky." And then he talks about how even Aranyaksha, how heroic, how chivalrous he was to fight with Varahadev, and how Aranyakashipu was fearless, fighting with the Sringadev and so on. They didn't refuse the fight. They were into it. They were a Kshatriya. They have to accept a fight. So then the Lord continued, "O King of the demons, after Lord Vishnu made this decision..." Oh, that's the whole thing about Aranyakashipu. Aranyakashipu, how the Lord appeared to be afraid of Aranyakashipu and entered into his heart so he couldn't find him. And that story goes on. He talks about his father Virochana, how he was also very charitable and affectionate towards the Brahmins. He actually delivered his life to them. "You also have observed his principles, followed by great persons who are householder Brahmins, by your forefathers, and by great heroes who are extremely famous for their exalted activities. O King of the Daityas, from your majesty, who come from such a noble family and are able to give charity munificently, I ask only 3 paces of land to the measurement of my steps." O King, controller of the whole universe, although you are very munificent and are able to give me as much land as I want, I do not want anything from you that is unnecessary. Very important lesson. Prabhupada says here is Lord Vamana is teaching the Brahmins, Sannyasis, Vaishnavas a very important lesson. If a learned Brahmin takes charity from others only according to his needs, he does not become entangled in sinful activity. One only takes according to one's need. Of course, one can say one's offering everything to the Lord, so one will take everything. But on one's own account, one only takes what one needs. Be careful. Not more. No stashing. No stashing of Mahaprasad in your locker till tomorrow. Okay? Or from yesterday to break the fast today. No. I think nowadays some divorces, and practically all the travelers have to have a bank account practically nowadays. Isn't dear Chandra Prabhu, you never think of having a money or a bank account, would you? You'd be in big trouble if you were caught with money, right, as a brahmachari practically, unless you were asked to do something. Unless you were sent on an errand to the laundry, then you were poached. Like, you have 10. How much was a laundry was in those days? 50? I don't know, it was shillings and pence, wasn't it? 10p or something? Yeah, it's hard to get it. Once a week, twice a week, you get 50p or something to do the whole temple laundry. So you sneak, you scram everything into the laundry machine, 10 times more than you're supposed to save 10p, so you could buy it something other than what you normally got, must do at the laundry. We go to the next door shop with a bakery and you buy a loaf of hot steaming bread. Or a bottle of milk, something. And all the laundry would come back not clean, it all wrinkled, screwed up in a ball. You get your bread and milk. Anyway, don't stash. excuse me. Become entangled in sinful reactions or activities. Bali Maharaj said, O son of a Brahmin, your instructions are as good as those of learned and elderly persons. Nonetheless, you are a boy. You are a little boy. Your intelligence is insufficient. You are not very prudent in regard to your self-interest. What are you asking? 3 steps of land? I can give you a planet. I can give you a planetary system. Come on. Use your intelligence. What are you asking for? 3 steps of land? You are not very intelligent, he said. And then the Lord replied, Bali Maharaj first of all said, anyone who approaches me should never go away thinking they have to ask anyone else for anything ever again. You should be able to get whatever you ever want from me. I'll give it to you. And then the Lord said, my dear king, even if the entirety of whatever there may be within the three worlds to satisfy one's senses cannot satisfy a person whose senses are uncontrolled. And that's a fact. No matter how much you get, you're never satisfied. Isn't it? Even if you get the whole universe, you're still not satisfied. You want the next one. And then the next one. Then you want to go out and get the spiritual wood if you hear about that. You're never satisfied. If I were not satisfied with 3 paces of land, then surely I would not be satisfied even with possessing one of the 7 islands. Planets divided up, and then within this particular sphere there are 7 islands. Jambadweep. Consisting of 9 varshas. Even if I possessed 1 island, I would hope to get others. It just happens. That's how it happens. People are never satisfied. Never. Isn't it? Even if you do get your 50 gulab jamuns, you're still not satisfied. You can't eat anymore, but you wish you could have another one. We have heard that although powerful kings like Maharaj Prithu and Maharaj Gaya achieved proprietorship over the 7 dvipas, they could not achieve satisfaction or find the end of their ambitions. One should be satisfied with whatever he achieves by his previous destiny, for discontent can never bring happiness. A person who is not self-controlled will not be happy even with possessing the 3 worlds. These are my wonderful purports here, describing this important principle of how to be happy, of how to not take more than one's requirements and be satisfied with what comes, whatever that may be. And he calls and carries on in this line. Therefore, O King, from you, the best of those who give charity, I ask only 3 paces of land. By such a gift I shall be very pleased. For the way of happiness is to fully satisfy, to be fully satisfied, to receive that which is absolutely needed. So then, of course, Bali Maharaj smiled, all right, take whatever you like. And to confirm his promise, he took up his water, Bali took his water pot, and was about to perform achman. Before giving in charity, he would do even achman. And of course, along came Shukracharya. Stop! Stop! Sometimes Kali tries to stop us going on Sankirtan. Stop! Don't go! It's raining. It's cold. You've got other things to do. You'll make a fool of yourself. They don't like it. What's the use anyway? Better things you could be doing. You're tired. You didn't sleep enough last night. You should chant extra. Now you're hungry. The person who's leading's not very good. Don't go out with them. They're in Maya. You might get in Maya if you go out. Maybe in the same way. Stop! Don't do it. Don't surrender. Whatever you do, don't go on Sankirtan, okay? You can think of something else to do. Try harder. There must be a good excuse. Hide in the cupboard until they're gone. Okay. I'm not here. Oh dear, I suddenly feel very sick. Oh dear, what's coming over me? Oh, I feel terrible. I just had a message from my wife. The baby has to go to the doctor immediately. Yes, we can always find some good excuse. So Shukracharya came along with an array of excuses. Stop, don't do it. This boy is a cheat. He'll take everything away from you. If you go on Sankirtan, you'll lose everything. You'll lose all of your material desires. Terrible. Don't do it. And he said, no, this boy is not an ordinary Brahmin. This is your enemy. This is the Vishnu, the head of the enemy. Don't give him anything. He'll take it all. I tell you, if you fulfill your promise to give him, you'll lose everything. You'll become poverty stricken. You'll go down to the lower planets. You'll be finished. Prabhupada says actually Shukracharya was more worried about himself than he was about Bali. As he'll be out of a job, he'll be on the dole queue. He'll be on the dole without his job. He said he's now appeared in order to fulfill the demigods' Vardita's desires. And then he gave various other reasons why he shouldn't give. He explained that if by giving something in charity, it endangers one's own position, it shouldn't be given. He said, you have also, don't worry. You did not, when you made the promise, it wasn't preceded with the Om vibration. Therefore, it is not binding. He went on and on and on with different ways. You don't need to do it. Don't worry. If you do, you're a rascal. You do not know what a mistake you'll be making. Vamadeva will occupy everything. But he says, little boy, how can he occupy more than a few feet? He's not a little boy, he's Vishnu. You'll be unable to fulfill your promise. Even if you want to, you'll break your promise, and for that you'll be punished. Because you won't be able to satisfy him. You'll have to take up residence in hell, he said. Learned scholars do not praise that charity which endangers one's own livelihood. Charity, sacrifice, austerity, and fruitive activities are possible for one who is competent to earn his livelihood. They're not possible for one who cannot maintain himself. So if you give, you won't be able to carry on. You know, you're supposed to be giving charity to the Brahmins. You won't have anything to give. It's all gone. You'll be finished. And he goes on with different arguments. We already mentioned Om. Therefore, the safe course is to say no. Although it's a falsehood, it protects one completely. It draws the compassion of others toward oneself, and it gives one full facility to collect money from others for oneself. Say no. Nonetheless, if one always pleads that he has nothing, he is condemned, for he is a dead body while living, or while still breathing he should be killed. So if you give everything, you'll have nothing, and you just have to say no to everybody else. Anyway, falsity is never condemned in certain situations. To bring a woman under control in joking, marriage ceremony, earning one's livelihood, when one's life is in danger, in protecting cows and Brahminical culture, or in protecting persons from enemy's hand, falsity is never condemned. So after hearing all that, Bali Maharaj, being advised by his spiritual master Sukracharya, remained silent. Then, after full deliberation, he replied, "As you have already stated, the principle of religion that does not hinder one's economic development, etc., is the duty of a householder. I also think that this religious principle is correct to fulfill one's promise. I am the grandson of Maharaj Prahlad. How can I withdraw my promise because of greed for money? When I have already said that I shall give this land, how can I behave like an ordinary cheater, especially toward a Brahmin? There is nothing more sinful than untruthfulness. Because of this, Mother Earth once said, I can bear any heavy thing except for a person who is a liar." That's a very important point, a very important purport, which is stated here. "I do not fear hell, poverty, an ocean of distress, fall down from my position, or even death itself, as much as I fear cheating a Brahmin." In this way, he decided to give the charity. He performed achamam. Sukracharya again said, try to stop him when he was performing achamam by reducing himself to a tiny size. He entered the pipe and blocked the pipe. The water wouldn't come out. And it said that Bali took a, this is a story, one of the Puranas or something, took a needle, poked it down the pipe to get the blockage out. It pierced the eye of Sukracharya. So you see pictures of him with his eye bleeding sometimes. He refused to follow his spiritual master's instruction because it was contrary to the Siddhanta, which was taught to worship Vishnu and to follow, to be truthful to Brahmins. So he was a very difficult decision he had to make. And anyway, he did this, and then the Lord, of course, took his three steps. His first step, suddenly, that little Brahmin boy expanded to the universal form. And Bali Maharaj saw the universal form before him, with many hands holding all kinds of weapons and so on. He saw the whole lower and middle planetary systems within his body. And the Lord covered with that form the whole lower and middle planetary systems. Then with his second step, he covered the entire upper planetary systems. The toe of his little toe pierced through the universe. And of course it said that the Ganga came through at that point of time into the universe. Ganga came from different sources. Lord Brahma had earlier also worshipped Lord Vamanadeva with the water from his Kamandalu, and that water was also considered Ganga. Different times, Ganga water merged together to form the Ganges water. So then with his third step, what to do? He didn't know what to do. Nowhere to put it. Now what am I going to do? Bali, where am I going to put my third step? Bali Maharaj was totally humiliated. He had nothing. Arrest him. Arrest him. So Bali Maharaj was arrested. They tied him up with the ropes of Varuna. Tied him up. He was bound up like a slave. Humiliated. In that position, he surrendered to the Lord. "My Lord, I cannot break my promise. I have to fulfill my promise. You have taken everything with your two steps. All I have left now is my head." And he placed his head, and the Lord put his foot on Bali's head to fulfill his promise. So he gave his head. He surrendered fully, therefore he's known as one who perfects his life through Atmanivedana, who gave everything. At that point of time, in that situation, bound up, humiliated, totally nothing, he had nothing left, surrendered everything. The demons became angry, many of them tried to attack. The Lord's associates killed them all. And he was completely lost, humiliated, finished, you could say, about to be condemned to go to hell. At that point of time, Lord Brahma, Prahlad Maharaj came on the scene. Prahlad Maharaj then appeared before Bali, his grandson, and started praising the Lord, how merciful you are to take everything away from him. You are very kind in this way. You take everything away from someone who misuses it to help deliver them from this material world. In this way you've been very kind to Bali. And then Lord Brahma appeared and was about to speak. But Lord Brahma, before he could get a word in edgeways, along came Vindhyavali. Vindhyavali is the wife of Bali. So she came along and she butted in. Before Lord Brahma could speak, she was very concerned. She came along, this is what she said. Oh my Lord, you have created the entire universe for the enjoyment of your personal pastimes, but foolish, unintelligent men have claimed proprietorship for material enjoyment. Certainly they are shameless agnostics. Falsely claiming proprietorship, they think that they can give charity and enjoy. In such a condition, what good can they do for you, who are the independent creator, maintainer and annihilator of this universe? What she said, basically, was addressing her husband. Prabhupada discusses this in one lecture. And he says that Vindhyavali was calling her husband an agnostic fool, puffed up, thinking that he was the proprietor. And still this fool has not learned his lesson, thinking that he is the owner of something to be given in charity. And now he's thinking he's fulfilled his promise by giving in charity 3 steps of land. He's still a fool. That's basically what she's saying. My Lord, even though my husband now may be thinking now he's fulfilled his promise, but he still hasn't realized he had nothing in the first place to give. It was all yours in the beginning. This is the lesson to be learned, that we cannot keep anything. Everything will be taken away. Bali also said that. Why not give it now? We're going to lose it at the time of death anyway. But the point is, we're still thinking it's mine to have or to lose. So Prabhupada said that Vindhyavali was far more advanced in spiritual life than Bali Maharaj. She understood that we have nothing to give. The illusion is to think that we have something to give. From the present situation to the realized situation, that's part of the stage we go through, but it's not actually a self-realized stage. Of course, Bali, maybe we say, is playing a part. He became a Mahajan. But in principle, his activity was not on the level of a surrendered soul, but one who surrenders everything. There's a difference between the two. So Vindhyavali was a surrendered soul. Far more advanced, Prabhupada said, than Bali Maharaj. So in this way, Vamanadev took everything away. And then Lord Brahma came and spoke and asked him, please release him. How much more punishment can you give to him? He's lost everything. You've bound him up. You've humiliated him. His wife's chastised him. What more do you need? And so then they released him, and then he went, okay, down you go. And then Prahlad Maharaj came, and the whole dynasty, whoever was there, they all went down to Sutala. And then we already heard the result of Lord Vishnu and talking to Shukracharya, and the benedictions from hearing this wonderful, wonderful pastime. Bali Maharaj has become the most famous amongst the demons and unbelievers, for in spite of being bereft of all material happiness, he is fixed in his devotional service. So he became a great devotee, the great Mahajan, devotee of the Lord, and later on, he also obtained the actual position of King Indra. The Lord gave it to him in many years to come, for about, I think, 30,000 years, I can't remember, a long time. Okay, well, that's the result of surrendering to Krishna. As you may seem to lose everything, but you gain everything. As Dhruva Maharaj also, when he saw the Lord, he said, I don't want anything else. Now I've got the most valuable gem. Everything else is like a broken piece of glass. So if we can try to remember these points and this past Tamil Lord Vamanadev today, and help to remove all the obstacles on our path of devotional service, all the attachments for material sense enjoyment, and hopefully we can also surrender everything in devotional service. Jai Shri Vamanadev Dwadashi Ki
Jai.
Lord Vamanadev's appearance day Ki Jai. Gaura Premanandi Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Shri Jiva Goswami Prabhupada Ki Jai. Hare Krishna. It's maybe getting a bit late. You're having Prashad. Now we're almost at breakfast time anyway. It's a funny time. I never heard it. Was it 9:53? What was it? 9:53? The official breakfast isn't till 9:53 this morning. However, we were given permission by the head priest to not be a fanatic smarter Brahmin and chant Hare Krishna, even if we make a fault in the performance of our Ekadashi Vrata. That there's no fault if we chant the holy names of Krishna. Is that what he said? Something like that. Mantutas tantutas chitam deya kala aleha vastuta. Everyone becomes faultless. Hare Krishna. We're handing over now to Alexis or something.
His Holiness Janananda Goswami Maharaj Ki. Thank you so much for narrating so beautifully the pastimes of Lord Vamanadev and glorifying Sri Jiva Goswami. We'll see if we have a couple of scores from the restaurant and from Radha's boutique. Meanwhile, just a quick update on the situation with the office. At the moment, we don't have an access as such to get the books, but shortly we will have an opportunity to get some of the things which we need to perform our daily sadhana. So especially those devotees who are in Sankirtan department, if you can let me know if there's anything apart from books that you need to collect from there. And other than that, devotees who perform some service connected with the office, please kindly speak to Baba Bhakti Mataji or Ramcharan Prabhu so that you would know the day or the time of the day when we can come and collect items. Is that correct, Ramcharan Prabhu?
Yeah.
Okay. Are there any scores at all?